time. Are you kidding?
If you're an economy-minded cook, your knife can be one of your best friends. By learning to use your knife wisely, you can get more value for your food dollar. You can buy a pork rib roast, for example, and cut the meat away from the bone. Then you'll have an elegant boneless pork roast, and there'll still be plenty of meat on the bones to barbecue like spare ribs. This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay, gang, so chances are...
When I adjusted the board, I accidentally took your mic out, and I didn't realize that until just now.
It's still up.
It's still up. Yeah. Wait. No. I got to press the thing. See, we come in here, and the board is always like a magical mystery as to what it's going to do and what it's going to be. Chase Mullane. I'm going to hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Sorry about that.
How dare you?
I know. No, it wasn't on purpose. I had to change the profile because...
You're listening to The Big Picture, by the way.
I was getting weird sounds in the cans. You still call them the cans.
I know, but it's just that I hear cans and I think butts.
You're getting weird sounds in the cans.
Weird sounds in the cans. Yeah. That's the thing is you can't say weird. You can't. It's too much, D.
Weird sounds in the cans.
You know, as eloquent and sophisticated as I can be, I in some degrees have the maturity level of a 11-year-old.
But I set this for default show profile and it should have mic 3 on there.
It's so. Just trying to keep you on your toes, D.
You know, I'm not on my... Look, 15 years I haven't figured out how to run this board.
I know,
right?
Funny to watch.
I was better with the old analog version. I could at least figure out how that thing operated. Anyway, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, Big Picture, Chase Mullane.
Yes.
Derek Gary. On the tell, Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene.
Indeed.
They will not be playing Pearl Bailey, 5-pound box of money, but she's got the right idea. I love that song.
And that is, you guys can't see because this is the radio and that is not how this works, but I was doing a little boogie.
Yeah.
And picturing a 5-pound box of money. And, hey, mom, dad, if you're listening and you were looking for that last minute gift to get me.
It's what everybody wants this holiday season. Put that on your...
I'm only getting the first part of my tattoo tomorrow. The other half is not paid for. So, 5-pound bags.
Put it on your gift list. Put that song on your Christmas playlist. Everyone will...
Even if it was ones, that would still be a ton of ones.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was quarters.
But she mentions tens at one point.
So
she does? She's looking for a 5-pound box of tens.
I wonder if anybody's ever, like, done the math on how much...
I don't know. I'll take a 5-pound box of tents.
Yeah, I will definitely take a 5-pound box.
It'll make my Christmas merry. National news. We got to talk about it. I want to spend a lot of time talking about it.
Like last week when we spent 45 minutes on it?
We're not doing 45 minutes on this thing again this week.
No.
The impeachment hearings began on Capitol Hill today in the House of Representatives. And we had a bunch of professors walk in and say, well, constitutional law.
Bunch of wicked smart guys.
The Constitution says this. The Constitution says this. And you can pretty much tell, like, you know, which partisan party.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it was a whole partisan tap dance.
High crimes and misdemeanors, says one. And another one gets up and he's like, really? Like, we're going to impeach a guy for this? And this is where we're at. I don't know if you read...
that's perpetually where we're at.
I don't know if you read Adam Schiff's manifesto.
I did not.
Which was published yesterday. I think
I really enjoy that it's a manifesto.
I'm somewhere between calling it a diatribe and a manifesto. What it is?
Aren't they kind of one and the same for the most part?
What it is not.
Typically, your average manifesto is going to be a bit of a diatribe.
Yeah. What it is not, Shea Spillane, is a sober, reasoned political document. Equal to the task of potentially impeaching a president of the United States.
Oh, good. That's super helpful.
Yeah, and I read the thing, and I'm like, oh, please, please, please. Can we not use this language? Because let's see if I can find this thing here. Here it is. And it's starting a Trump-Ukraine impeachment inquiry report. This thing goes on for a long time. But I'll give you the flavor of it. Let's get. Oh God, we've got all of the congressmen listed in here. And we've got all these things in here. I want to get into the executive summary of this.
The executives.
If I can find it.
Summary.
Yeah.
Of the incoherent rant.
Yeah, it's kind of where this goes. I mean, because what we learn is that Adam Schiff writes like a 12-year-old, and you know has no qualms whatsoever about inserting his opinions into this. So here's the executive summary. The first paragraph of it. The impeachment inquiry into Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States, uncovered a months-long effort by President Trump to use the powers of his office to solicit foreign interference on his behalf in the 2020 election. Okay, that seems reasonable enough, right?
Yeah, that's a coherent sentence.
As described in this executive summary and the report that follows, President Trump's scheme subverted U.S. foreign policy toward Ukraine and undermined our national security in favor of two politically motivated investigations that would help his presidential reelection campaign.
You're getting okay. So here's here's the word scheme. All right. I took a journalism class when I was in college.
Don't forget, undermined our national security.
Undermined. That's another one. I took a journalism class in college because I was considering majoring in journalism. What ultimately made both me and my journalism professor decide against it is he said, you are a good writer, but you are incapable of objectively delivering facts. He said, like, even when it seems like you're objectively delivering facts, we know where you're coming from. And that's the antithesis of how you're supposed to write in journalism. This is sort of the same going along those lines. If you want to make this piece of writing come off as straight up, no bias, I'm just spewing the facts here, y'all. You can't use obviously biased terminology. Nobody ever says scheme when they don't have a negative opinion of what the person is doing.
Would you believe me if I told you it gets better?
Just read it.
Still in this first paragraph.
I had something that long to say about the second sentence. Things do not bode well.
Yeah, well, we're on to the third. We're on to the third sentence.
Uh-oh.
The president demanded that the newly elected Ukrainian president Volodymyr Zelensky publicly announce investigations into a political rival that he apparently feared the most. Former Vice President Joe Biden.
So now he's also putting words into President Trump's mouth. That's awesome.
And into a discredited theory that it was Ukraine, not Russia, that interfered in the 2016 presidential election. To compel the Ukrainian president to do his political bidding, President Trump conditioned two official acts on the public announcement of the investigations: a coveted White House visit and critical U.S. military assistance Ukraine needed to fight in Russian to fight its Russian adversary. I'm going to skip ahead a paragraph. President Trump and his senior officials may see nothing wrong with using the power of the office of the president to pressure a foreign country to help the president's re-election campaign. Indeed, President Trump continues to encourage Ukraine and other foreign countries to engage in the same kind of election interference today. However, the Founding Fathers prescribed a remedy for a chief executive who places his personal interests above those of the country: impeachment. Accordingly, as part of the excuse me, it's cold and flu season. As part of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry, the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, in coordination with the Committees on Oversight and Reform and Foreign Affairs, were compelled to undertake a serious, sober, and expeditious investigation into whether the president's misconduct warrants that remedy. In response, President Trump engaged in an unprecedented campaign of obstruction of this impeachment inquiry. Nevertheless, due in large measure to patriotic and courageous public servants who provided the committees with direct evidence of the president's actions, the committees uncovered significant misconduct on the part of the president of the United States. This is just a taste.
This sounds more like... Do you know what this is reminding me of? Like, back in my days of getting drunk a lot, the, like, ranty text message I would send an ex-boyfriend.
Would you believe me if I told you that this goes on like this for another 15 pages?
Yes, because he's sending a ranty text message to his ex-boyfriend after too much Smirnoff Raspberry.
Oh, God, I read the whole thing. So look.
You read that whole thing?
I read the whole thing.
Did you stop to, like, bury your face in your hands every three paragraphs?
I had to read it in chunks and every once in a while get up and walk around my office to remind myself that adults still exist in this world. So, look. I've read the whole thing. Trump did the itchy, okay? He did the itchy. Mm. Like, there's no denying that the guy, like, leaned on the president of Ukraine to make a statement saying, I'm going to investigate Joe Biden, and that Trump did it because it would give him political benefit. Have other presidents done this? I don't know that they have. I don't know that they haven't. Is this the kind of offense that the Founding Fathers were talking about when they came up with impeachment? That's the question. And that's the question that I think Americans need to ask themselves more than we need Adam Schiff asking up on Capitol Hill.
I'm still trying to process, like, what this was supposed to accomplish.
I know.
It...
There is no... Now, the interesting thing about it is they have no evidence of any direct communication from Donald Trump. Nowhere in any of this has anyone come out and said, Donald Trump said, do this.
Yeah.
The other thing that they don't...
It's been a lot of...
The other thing they don't have is any evidence as to why... We finally figured out what happened to the $400 million in military aid.
Yeah.
That was released on September 11th. No reason given. It was held up in July. No reason given. So we don't know if this is tied to that or this. The only quote that they seem to have from Donald Trump is Donald Trump talking to other officials and saying no quid pro quo. Now, he can say that all day long, okay? But if he's sitting there in the background saying, look, you want your military aid, you're going to make this announcement, you could say no quid pro quo all day long. It's a quid pro quo.
Yeah, just because you don't... put it in the exact language of a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you recall, I always go back to that email that got released. If you recall, no, the Latin term quid pro quo that almost no one who's doing a quid pro quo says when they're doing one does not occur there. Like, it's not there, but it's the equivalent of a so you want to have a drink at my place?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say, hey, want to sleep together? But I pretty much did, yeah. You know? And that, I think, is the difficulty here.
Ukraine, by the way, repeatedly said no.
Oh, yeah.
Repeatedly said no. We're not going to do this.
Ukraine's me too and all over the place.
Yeah.
I think that is, aside from the, like, ridiculous party lines and, like, just how I mean, they're at the Earth's crust. They're drawn in the sand so deep. Or the Earth's crust is the top. The Earth's magma core. Let's say that. But that is the other problem with this is that it is, I mean, it's so difficult to, there isn't, like, it's all about conversations. So even with recordings, even with an email that you can sit and read, human language in the way that it's used is so, it's so subjectively interpreted.
But set that apart. Let's just say that we can all come to an agreement that Donald Trump did the itchy. Okay, I did the itchy. He did the thing.
You really like that expression.
He did the thing. Okay, he did the thing, and he did the thing for political gain. And at one point, Schiff points out that this is not the action of a naive president, and I believe that. Okay, I think Donald Trump knew exactly what he was doing.
I'm not allowed to do that.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. The question is this. And this is the question that you need to ask, not about Donald Trump. This is where, as an American, as an individual, as a contributor to and participant in this republic, you need to set aside this specific president and ask yourself, is this an impeachable offense? Because if it is, if we decide that it is, then Donald Trump is not going to be the only one subject to it. 10 years from now, that progressive, you know, when Elizabeth Warren is sitting in the White House and she's being thrown out of office on these charges, you can't turn around and howl about it and say, oh, no, she's mine. You can't get rid of her. Don't hold her to the same standard. It's not how this works. Okay? This isn't party time. This isn't play. This is where the Democrats are playing with fire on this, because the Democrats are treating this as a political game. And I think the majority of the American people look at this and they look at this and they're like, wait a minute. We're talking about a fundamental nuclear option that exists in our Constitution. We don't play games with that.
But theoretically, I mean, this should be objective anyway. This should, and it's not going to be, because it's Donald Trump, probably the most controversial president that we've ever had. I'd say that.
Recent memory.
Yeah.
Recent memory.
The most controversial.
Most controversial
that
president
we've had in modern history.
Modern, most controversial president in your lifetime.
Yeah. I think probably in yours. Nixon. Yeah.
Yeah. I go back to the Nixon years.
But, well, yeah. The most, that's fair. Reagan was my first president. So the most controversial one in my lifetime. So it's, no one's going to be objective. Nobody's just going to look at this as, should the president be doing this? But, if they were capable of doing that, I don't really see a problem with, even if it's an Elizabeth Warren-y type person down the line getting kicked out. Like, I don't, it's something that shouldn't be done. That's the bottom line. You have to take out, oh, well, I hate Trump anyway, so yeah, totally screw him for this. You have to take out the fact that it's Donald Trump. Just pretend, I know it's difficult to do, but pretend that you don't know who it is. You know what I mean? Like, pretend you're from Mars and someone just says, hey, here's how this government of this thing called a country works. This is the leader of that thing. We'll call him Leader A. Leader A did this. Should he no longer be leader because he did this? That should be what this is about. It's not, because it's Donald Trump.
Right.
But it should be what this is about. And in that regard, If this were deemed an impeachable offense, no, it wouldn't bother me if someone in the future that I supported got impeached for the exact same thing.
The bigger question is, do you consider this? Now, the irony of Democrats who take money from outside of their district to run for office, complaining about a president asking for help for a foreign country to run for office, is not lost on me, because they are the same thing. Okay? I don't care where you're getting the help from.
See,
if you're taking out of state money to run for House of Representatives, you need to sit down and shut up. Because that's a problem too.
See, for me, that's a different animal. For me, the reason that I think that that this is an impeachable offense is because he is president. That's it. If this was Donald Trump, presidential candidate, and say he was I don't know, say he was, why can't I think of the title? Say he was in charge of our military. He is. I mean, he's president, but you know what I'm talking about. A department, head of the Department of
Defense.
Thank you. That's what I couldn't like get it out of my head. Say he was that, and then he did this to run for president. Yeah, that's sketchy as hell. But it isn't the specific thing that makes this an impeachable offense is the very fact that he's in the position in which one can be impeached.
Okay.
If he wasn't president and did this exact thing, yeah, it would be sketchy. But it's the fact that he used his ultimate power to, when you're the sitting president, you're not supposed to use any of the juju you get within your presidential role to ensure that you become the next president.
Would you argue that they all do this, though?
They all do this in positive ways.
Well, but are you going to tell me Donald Trump is the first guy that's ever done this in the White House? Come on.
That's ever, like, done quid pro quo with another country?
Yeah.
At least as blatantly as he's doing it.
Well, it's been documented. He's the first one to get caught, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, JFK screwed like 60 women while he was in office, yeah. But God, if the only picture we got ever was of him and Jackie O.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I mean, look, Barack Obama lied about what happened in Benghazi because it was politically expedient. You know, that to me, lying to the American people about an international event that affects our national security, to me, I have no problem impeaching on that because that's way worse than asking the president of Ukraine to say, I'm going to investigate Joe Biden.
I would agree if it wasn't the president asking him to do it, and if it wasn't so that he could increase his chances of becoming president in 2020. That's the thing here, is that a lot of people are saying, is what he did.
But Benghazi was 2012. Obama lied to the American people for political gain.
But it wasn't.
And Hillary Clinton stood right behind him.
But it wasn't entirely self-serving.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. If Barack Obama had to sit there and say, listen, we had an organized terrorist attack on a CIA substation where we were gathering guns to send to Libya, that would have been it. He would have been done. Because that race was that close. Mitt Romney would have been our president. Instead, he lied about it.
He wasn't bad. I wouldn't have been too upset if Mitt Romney was president.
Instead, they concocted this whole story about how people were upset about some film that didn't even exist.
Well,
that was a conspiracy to defraud the American people.
Okay. Here's the difference. Your example with Obama. Yep, that wasn't cool. Not cool, Barrio. But that was to keep his image from being tarnished.
Well, it happened like a month before the election. So yes, it was.
This is to tarnish the image of another. This is to, like Barack Obama was here. My hand is raised above the microphone. He didn't want to be taken down here. My hand is below the microphone. Trump is right here. And wanted to, below the microphone, and he wanted to use this information to raise himself up here. Or at least to bring Biden down.
I think.
Which would, what's the word? Respectively make him look higher.
I think ultimately we're in agreement that the Oval Office should not be used for political shenanigans.
No, it should not. Well, and that's the thing is, I agree. I'm sure this isn't the first time it's happened. Not even close. But the matter is, guess what, buddy? He got caught.
But now, here's the second part of this.
Can you prove
that Donald Trump did this for political reasons and not for ordinary presidential reasons?
Can he prove that he did it for ordinary presidential reasons? Because he hasn't yet. He's been talking a lot.
He hasn't said anything about that.
Yeah, right?
Interestingly,
If I had done what he did for presidential reasons, which usually when you do something that hardcore and that sketchy looking, you got to have a pretty damn good reason to do it.
But he
should have come right out and said, guys, this isn't about the campaign. This is about this brilliant reason that's obviously true because I'm going to lay it out very clearly for you.
But he's been smarter than that. He hasn't said anything. And if you don't say anything, then nobody knows. I brought up this point last week. The fact that Joe Biden is running for vice president does not absolve him of being investigated for past wrongdoing. And if anything, creates a greater burden for those investigations. Now, interesting corollary to this, the White House has kicked out all the Bloomberg reporters, taking their press credentials away. Because now that Michael Bloomberg is running for president, they have said they will not write any negative articles about Democrats, but they will continue to write negative articles about Donald Trump. And Trump has basically said, you know what? That's not how any of this works. Either you're fair
and impartial.
And impartial to everybody, or you're quietly cheering on your guy. And apparently there are people within the Bloomberg newsroom who are furious about this. They don't want Bloomberg running. They want him out from the organization. Because he's still head of that organization. Which means he's got a media outlet that can give him favorable coverage through the whole thing. This is where this stuff gets complicated.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is where it gets... Well, and the thing that I think the irony of this is that you're right. In the past, as I've already said, in the past, there have absolutely been situations where this, not this exact thing, but something very similar has happened. The great difference here, and I remember learning in college about the revolving door syndrome. It's like there's the head, the CEO of a company, and then there's a senator. And then the CEO of the company runs for Senate. The senator is coming off, and he becomes CEO of the company.
Yeah.
And the CEO becomes senator, and it just keeps revolving like that.
Yeah.
This is not anything new,
you know,
in the world.
You know what was new? I'll tell you what was new. Was when Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney, was like, oh, yeah, no, we're just going to put in a blind trust. I'm still going to be in charge of the company. And then started steering contracts of the company.
But the difference here... There's a lot of differences here, but the main glaring difference here is that it is 2019, meaning we are in a 24-hour news cycle.
Sure.
Meaning, whereas once, as small as maybe 10 years ago, not that many people were very informed. Not that many people paid very much attention or even bothered to have an opinion.
Half of Americans don't know what's going on with this.
But that's what I'm saying.
They hear about it, they're like,
That's what I'm saying, is that... Still, a ton of people are clueless, but ultimately, the amount of people, especially with the fact that that is the funny thing, too, that Donald Trump kind of bit himself in the ass by being famous before this, because people who never would have paid attention to politics before 2016 did, because, hey, that guy I like from The Apprentice is running for president.
Yeah, but then they went out and voted for him. So,
but I'm saying that not everyone, there are people that like The Apprentice who are liberals and then were just like, oh my God, this is going to be ridiculous. I'm going to keep an eye on this. So the people that started paying attention kept paying attention. So now, yeah, most people, not most, but a lot of people are still wildly uninformed, but enough people can form an opinion about what's going on now that it can't be one of those things that just kind of falls by the wayside because us normal non-government folk don't get it. It's we're at the point in our political climate where your average person is way more educated and has way more grounds for an opinion than they would have even, like I said, even a decade ago.
Yeah.
So that is what's making this whole impeachment even possible when, yeah, my brother makes the same argument that you did, which is like, you're telling me that there aren't other guys who are guilty of this exact same thing?
Of course there are.
Of course there are.
Of course there are.
It's a matter of the fact that he's president, who he is just as a person, that he's Donald Trump. Take president out of it. Like, how informed everybody? There are all these factors that are why we're even talking about this, when if we went digging, we could find 100 different examples.
Sure.
Of, you know, like, that's what I'm saying, is that's it was like a perfect storm of all this stuff.
Look, at the end of the day, as someone, speaking as someone who is a, you know, distant twig on the founding father's family tree, And who takes the Constitution...
Oh, quit bragging.
Well, but who takes... You know, I read the Constitution,
yeah,
the Bill of Rights.
You take a vested interest in this.
I take this stuff seriously. This is not what the Founding Fathers had in mind when they were talking about high crimes and misdemeanors. And to suggest that it is to fundamentally misread the text. It's that simple in my eyes. At the time that the Constitution was written, we had just come off a multi-year war against a foreign power that controlled us. Mm. And we had also come through a period of several years where the states could not agree with one another, where other foreign powers were attempting to exploit those divides. And one of the greatest fears that ran across the land was you were going to put someone in the White House who was going to call up the president of France and say, hey, guess what? Come on over. We're French now. And give the country away. This morphed over time into the McCarthy era fears, you know, that the United States was somehow going to be taken over by communists and that the president of the United States might be a communist. And, well, we've got to impeach him for that. We go from that to Richard Nixon. Okay. Nixon hired a bunch of guys to break into a hotel and steal political information. And the Democrats were so upset by this that they basically got him thrown out of office. Yeah. And Nixon's a similar situation. Nobody really liked Nixon, okay?
Tricky dick.
Nixon may have been an effective president and done some really, really good things for the country.
He ended the war.
If you are 18 years old and vote, you can thank Richard Nixon for that. You can thank Richard Nixon for Thanksgiving being as late as it could possibly be, because that was on his desk, too. And in that case, you can say, you know what? You use the office of the president to steal information from your rivals. You went out and you hired guys. You hired guys. Yeah. You hired G. Gordon Liddy to go break into the Watergate Hotel. And they got caught. Not a good look. No. We can't have that. That's, as president, you don't get to do that. But it's still not... Is it undermining the democratic process? Yes. So is taking out-of-state money. So is dead people voting. So is broken voting machines. So is voter suppression. There are so many things going on that undermine our democratic process that the president of the United States asking the president of Ukraine, hey, can you announce an investigation to Joe Biden, really falls low on that list.
I think of it like this. Okay. Say... a cop pulls somebody over. If they can smell alcohol...
I want to wrap this up in 2 minutes, yeah. By the way, because we got one more thing we get.
If they can smell alcohol, but the person is, you know, can get out of the car, can walk the straight line, is speaking generally okay...
We're going to be talking about that guy at the end of the show.
They're probably... Ooh, fun. They're probably going to say, all right, you live a half mile from here, like, go ahead. But... if the person is drenched in booze and is not hiding it at all...
where's the party?
They're getting that DUI.
Yep.
And that is what this is. It's not that he's the first person to drink and drive, but he was really stupid and obvious about it.
But it's precedent. And it's precedent...
It is, and I'm not saying it's not.
But here's the thing. By setting this precedent, by saying this is law, you can't do this in the White House, you can't conduct these sorts of activities, you're putting a box around what the president can do.
But, and my point from earlier, I don't think that's a bad thing.
So are we going to have a committee now that
vets... That's the whole point. It's supposed to be of the people, by the people.
Are we going to have a committee now that vets every presidential, you know, conversation and negotiation to determine whether or not there is a political gain to it? How do you enforce this?
I mean, I don't think that it will go that far, but I think that...
But if you set the precedent, it has to, because no one is ever going to want to get caught on this again.
Well, if you set the precedent, then, I mean, yeah, things will have to change. But again, I don't think that's a bad thing. Oh, no, our presidents can't be corrupt and cut corners anymore. Darn. Like... I don't see that as being some great loss.
I don't. Again,
I see that as our country getting back to what it's supposed to be, and not this free for all of rich people going in and out of office and in and out of CEO positions. Like having it be an actual honest system. I know, crazy thought.
It's not like the guy's saying, "Hey, round up some Ukrainians to come over here and vote for me." You know, he's asking for an investigation, which may or may not be a legitimate investigation. There's questions about Hunter Biden and Burisma.
Okay.
That's legit.
That doesn't change what he did.
That's legit.
We're not talking about Biden, though. We're talking about Trump doing this. That's the thing, that's what a lot of people are focusing on. Well, you know, it is sketchy. Yeah, I'm sure the thing with Biden's totally sketchy, which is why Trump was willing to do whatever it takes to get it out there. And for his gain, something that if he were not president, he would not be able to do. Biggity, biggity, boo.
All right.
Yeah, we have to stop talking about this because we cannot. I refuse to have our entire show. Oh, that wasn't 45 minutes this time. At least that's good.
I wanted to. I got to pull rank on you because I had to talk about this story.
No, and I don't. I mean, I don't mind.
No, obviously.
I have plenty to say about it.
This one that I'm going to bring up right now. Shay, assume that you're married. You don't have to be married to me. You can be married to
somebody. Oh, yeah, thank God.
Yeah, no, you can be married to somebody who you like. And should be. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, marry someone
of
that you like.
You're supposed to like them, right?
We're past the point where you have to marry for land and money in this country, mostly.
We are, Dad.
Yeah, mostly.
Why'd you set me up with that 80-year-old?
So you're married, and it's Christmas Day, and your husband gets you a Peloton.
Oh, this was going to be my story, too.
What's your reaction to that? Peloton from the husband.
Well, here's my thing. Did I ask for the Peloton? Did I speak for a really long time about how I want to get in shape and how I could really use a fine piece of machinery to enable me to do so? Or did you out of the blue buy me a Peloton? Therein lies the great divide of my reaction to the Peloton on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
It's just like when my friend thought that her boyfriend was going to propose on Christmas. They've been living together for 3 years. And he complained that she didn't cook enough. So instead of getting her a diamond ring, he got her a pots and pans set.
Ooh.
They don't live together anymore.
Nor should they.
Can I explain why you're asking me this question? Do you want to?
Well, no, go right ahead.
So guys, the reason that Derek's asking me this is, Peloton, if you don't know, is they're the makers of this indoor bike that is like very hardcore. They have like live instructors. It's like very,
it's
like rich people have this bike.
It is a $2,500 exercise bike that you also need a $40 a month subscription to get the people to show up on the screen and motivate you.
Yeah. So it's basically like going to a really nice gym, but at your house. They bring the really nice gym to your house. But so they released this commercial recently. In the 30-second spot, which you can, if you just type in Peloton Boston ad, it'll come right up. There's a husband surprising his wife with a Peloton bike for Christmas. And she begins to document her fitness journey.
We don't see much of the husband, by the way. He's sort of a looming, shadowy figure in this
whole thing. She is the focal point of this.
Yes.
But we know that there is a husband and that he gave her the bike.
She's also a size one, by the way.
I would say she is like way too hot.
And it's sort of like I'm trying to figure out, you know, does the card say, you know, honey, you're starting to look like a size two. Here's an exercise bike.
But so she begins to document her fitness journey on a vlog, video blog, for those of you who don't know. But she's riding after work and like begrudgingly waking up at 6 a.m. to get on the bike. And then through the window, like you can see like winter turn to spring and then summer. And then it clearly becomes fall. And the Peloton instructor is saying like, let's go, Greece from Boston.
Yeah. All right. Here's my problem.
But so the big reveal at the end.
But wait a minute. Don't set this crap in Boston, Peloton.
I was going to say. Well, it was helpful for them too, so they could show the seasons change because
Grace,
our seasons are dead.
But let me tell you something. Grace is not from Boston, okay? Grace might be from Newton.
I was going to say, Grace is not from Boston.
Grace might be from Wellesley or somewhere else in the millionaire belt.
She could be from Beacon Hill. I could see Grace living in Beacon Hill.
No, she's got ground level.
Oh, yeah.
She's looking out of ground level. Grace is from Needham Heights. Grace is from one of these well-to-do, you know, Weston. Weston. Grace might be
places
from Weston.
Places where you feel like you should talk like this.
Grace ain't from Boston, is what I'm saying. And calling the ad Grace from Boston is an insult to all those of us who don't like the 1% hanging around on the fringes of our urban area.
Hear, hear. But so then, like, at the end, the big reveal is that Grace made this year-long vlog so she could show her husband, like, as a thank you for the gift. Like, look, you made me skinnier than I already was, yeah. Which was ridiculously skinny.
Yeah, she went from a size 1 back to a size 1. So that crisis was averted. Yeah. Her size 2 body never developed.
Yeah, like, for me, to play devil's advocate a little bit here, they were... I'm going to imagine they were trying to approach this as a, her husband cares about her health and wants her to be healthy, so he got her this. Not the way that it is very easily taken, which is her husband wants her to be even hotter than she already
get
is.
Get a little muffin toppy around
and
the middle
she
there, hun.
It feels like such the good wife coming and being like, hey, baby, no more love handles here. Like,
no. And it doesn't.
And that's the thing is, they totally, it would be a totally different thing. And obviously, it's a 30-second spot. They can't have a whole backstory about this woman complaining about her weight.
Maybe you shoulda.
But
maybe you shoulda.
But yeah, buy, you know what? You're the most expensive freaking bike on the market. Buy a 60-second spot and make time for that.
Yeah.
And oh, also, maybe take an actual woman, like a real, not a model woman.
Yeah.
That needs to get in shape and actually have her use a Peloton for a year and actually show her progress.
That would have been good. See, if you took a woman who was like a size 12 and like at the end of the...
I was going to say, like, if you took me, I don't care about saying my size on the radio. I was a size 14 when I started working out 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm a size 12.
Yeah.
I'll probably be a size 10 by the time I say, all right, enough.
But here's the thing.
You show that. If I saw a woman like me on there, I'd be like... Hell yeah, and it's so cool that her husband supports her, that she wants to lose a little weight.
And this is gross. And then at the end of the ad, she's like, a size 6. And you're like, okay, that thing works.
Yeah, like word up. This is like, oh look, the skinny person stayed skinny. What a miraculous innovation.
It doesn't help that in every single shot of this ad, she looks utterly terrified.
Yeah.
She looks like she is in constant fear throughout the entire commercial. It can't be.
It's that he's going to break up with her if the Peloton bike doesn't work.
I don't think it's because she's afraid of getting... She says she's afraid of getting on the bike. There's something else going on there. You know, that's transference.
Yeah.
She's afraid of something else. She's afraid of losing her size 1 body because Mr. Newton Wellesley is, you know...
Grace from Newton Wellesley. Yeah.
They just got a new crop of interns down at the office, and he's, you know, he's got his eye on them.
God, my ex-boyfriend had one of those bikes, and like, I'd watch him on it and be like, you know, you look like the yuppiest prick ever right now. Right?
Let me ask you a question.
I hate that they know your name. I hate you for this.
If you wear the Canada Goose jacket while you ride the Peloton, do you burn the weight faster because you're sweating so much? Is that
I don't know.
Is that how the 1% are losing weight these days?
I don't know, but you have to tan your butthole after you're done.
Yikes. This is just the most ridiculous.
I didn't just make that up by the way, guys. Like, look at, I think it's on Gwyneth Paltrow's blog or something. The new craze with rich famous people is getting vitamin D to your hindquarters.
A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me, Grace from Newton Wellesley says. And it's like, what? Change what? You look exactly the same. Only now you're suffering at the hands of a Peloton instructor. Like 5 times a week or however often you're doing
it. And maybe your resting heart rate went from 45 to 37.
Yeah, this is a perfectly young, healthy, fit woman with like 0% body fat. She doesn't need a Peloton.
Well, that's what I love. This really created, obviously, quite a stir. Like Ava Victoria is a comedian. She like said that like it seems unprompted that the husband, that's the thing, is unprompted that he bought her this wife, like, what's the message that this sends? But I love some of the tweets. It's clear this woman doesn't need a Peloton. She needs a good therapist and a divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
And then they show the picture of her looking scared. That face you make when you have to videotape yourself exercising to prove to your husband that you're making every effort to, checks notes, look thin for him.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one. If my husband bought me a Peloton for Christmas, I'd make him a video too of me selling it on Craigslist.
Yep. Take that $2,000 and go get yourself a divorce attorney.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, chip away at the old mortgage.
Yeah. I mean, what?
Do you know what else you can use to lose weight? An actual bike.
Yeah.
And guess what? Newton and Wellesley have lots of trails.
You can go to the gym. You can go to the gym. But, you know, she's got the daughter that you only see once at the very beginning of the commercial.
And that's why she needs to lose the weight, because the mommy belly is still
a
millimeter there.
That's why she needs to lose the weight at home, because daddy doesn't let her out of the house anymore.
Oh,
you know,
that's
daddy's
right.
Got her watching the kid all the time. So she's got to get up. I guess kid doesn't get up at 6 a.m.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose.
Yeah.
In.
All I'm saying is that there is some kind of really dysfunctional marriage lurking behind the scenes in this commercial, and we should all be afraid.
Be afraid.
One of my favorite comments, and I've heard this from several places, is like, this would be a great opening for an episode of Black Mirror.
Oh my God, it totally would.
Like, what's really going on with this couple?
Well, think about the flip side. And again, if they had like a backstory that she had been talking about that she wanted to lose weight, and if it was an actual human being that needed to get in shape and not the pixie stick that they chose, it would be the equivalent of like a commercial for a penis enlarger, where the wife gets her husband a penis enlarger for Christmas, and then he measures his progress and goes, look how big it is.
Yeah.
Will you not leave me for the 20-year-old assistant at your work?
Yeah.
Like,
I never knew how much this would change my life.
Yeah.
All the ladies at work love me now. Thanks, hon.
My pants are tighter in all the right places.
I don't understand.
Here's the thing. Like, this would be,
I'm in marketing. I do this, and I watch this, and I'm like, how did this ever get approved?
Well, and especially,
do you know how many people this went through to get to this point?
Well, and especially in light of, it's like, this would be a dumb ad like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
In light of all the stuff, all the Me Too and women's empowerment and fighting for fair wage, all of the stuff that is like right there, smacks you in the face. Any news source that you go to, especially like when all of the things with Harvey Weinstein, when Bill Cosby, when all of that is still fresh in our minds. You say the word Weinstein. Do you know how common a last name Weinstein is? You say the word Weinstein, you think dude taking advantage of women. That's your first thought. You're not thinking my dentist. I did have a dentist named Weinstein. That's why I said that. But it's so fresh in our minds. And the thing is, it's actually a really good product. And there are like 10 bajillion directions they could have gone in to advertise it. What? Moron. Someone. And by the way, I looked into like a couple different. Peloton, they won't comment on it. They like can't.
Oh, they turned the comments off on their YouTube video.
Yeah, they won't. They like is, they won't. They're just doing the, I can't hear you, la la la. Yeah. If I can't hear you, didn't happen, la 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 la. But someone's getting fired over there. There's like a 0% chance that either whose idea it was or their supervisor, probably all of them.
We'll see how the sales do, because, you know, we are talking about Peloton. 855-915-9636. On the Towel Mikey D is coming your way in just a few minutes. And if you want to keep On the Towel Mikey D coming your way on all the devices that you use, or you want to keep this show coming your way, or you want to get rid of this show,
Stop saying that.
Go to WMFO.org and click on the Donate tab. Go to WMFO.org, click on the Donate tab. Send us a few bucks. That's all we're asking for.
And you get some cool swag if you, like, honestly, I'm thinking of, what is it, 30 for a t-shirt?
We don't need a five-pound box of money.
I want a t-shirt for the radio station I work at. That's dope.
We're not looking for a five-pound box of money. We just want $5. We'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, no, if you want to donate a five-pound box of money, you send it to Derek and I directly.
We'll take that.
We'll do really, really good, meaningful stuff with
Send
it.
Us $5, you get a sticker. $10, you get a button. $30, you get a shirt. $50, you get the limited edition mug. I don't even have this. It's got the logo on it.
And Derek's got like all the MFO swag.
It says, I have taste. $100, you can record a PSA and we will play it on this station.
And you'll get to record it here.
Yeah,
which means like our radio station, guys, like, I don't know. I don't think we talk about it enough. It's pretty dope. Like, it is a very cool place to just get to like look around and hang out.
If you get the opportunity to come in here, you'll just spend an hour walking around.
Oh, yeah. Just
at
like looking at all the records, all of the art. There's so much. Well, some of it I wouldn't consider art, but a lot of it is.
Donate $10,000. You can take this show off the air. WMFO.org.
The bathroom graffiti is very funny.
$10,000. This show goes away. It's my annual pledge.
And remember, you could also donate $9,999, and that would be awesome. And then we'd still have our jobs, and that would be nice too.
$10,000. This show goes away. Go to WMFO.org. WMFO.org. It's on the internets now.
On the webs.
It's on the internets. Click on the donate tab, and all of the information that you need to fill it out and make your donation will be there. That is WMFO.org. Here's some more Christmas suggestions for you just before we get to our favorite thing from the past week and the strangest thing from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Each year, my mom says to write to you to ask for some lovely gifts. I like that we still do this, but I find as time goes by, I have almost all I need. Unlike my little sister, I don't know what to ask for. Still, I must make up a list before I'm out of time. This will be a Christmas first, I'll make your name ring. Dear Santa, I'd like a Toyota, a bag of pasta, some ink magenta, a trip to Malta, with a pleasant vista, that's everything to for my life. Rudolph had a shiny nose, and for this was ostracised, suffered nasty name calling from a narrow-minded herd. Regardless of the outcome on that foggy Christmas Eve, they should be held to account for acting unkind and mean. Tardy sycophantic praise doesn't make it right. Rudolph was the bigger deer, lighting up the night. Dear Santa,
dear Santa,
I'd like a Toyota,
I'd like a Toyota,
a bag of pasta,
a bag of pasta,
some ink magenta,
a trip to Malta,
with a pleasant vista, that's
everything to
for my life,
for my life.
Here's a verse just for the kids,
here's a verse just for the kids.
They say you must be good, or Santa will not come. I wouldn't worry about this,
never happens.
Santa's not that kind of guy, they just want an easy life.
On behalf of Rad, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. We are wrapping things up here at the Big Picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you our favorite thing from the past and coming week and the weirdest thing from the past week. For me, what's hot, I was looking at stuff to do around Boston and I stumbled upon something that I'm going to try to get booked for. So you might end up seeing me actually if you do this. It's this thing called Don't Tell Comedy. And they're a group that puts on comedy shows in secret locations with a secret lineup in cities all over the country. And it turns out that Boston is one of those cities. How it works is that you buy tickets for the date, time, and area. And then at noon on the day of the show, you'll get a notification telling you all the details. You never know what comics you'll get the chance to see or what place you'll get to check out. It's a really good idea for someone who likes to have a plan, but also be spontaneous. And it's definitely an alternative experience to like a traditional comedy club. Their next shows in Boston are this Friday, December 6th, somewhere in the Seaport District. And next Friday, December 13th, somewhere in the Back Bay. If you want tickets or more information, go to don'ttellcomedy.com/Boston.
All I can think about while you're talking about that is I hope it's not at the Rossi Square Theater because that show's getting shut down.
No, I think we're done zopatui with that.
If you're looking for something family friendly, Zoo Lights is going on right now at the Stoneham Zoo, as it does every year.
Oh, cool.
They have animals, they have Christmas lights. That's awesome by itself. But this year, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. In addition to the animals and the lights, the Brick Safari is still taking place.
Oh, cool.
So there are somewhere around 45 life-size Lego sculptures of animals, along with the lights and the real animals.
So you're getting, you're just getting lots of bang for your buck up in that.
Your children's heads will explode, is basically what's going to happen.
Your heads will explode. Are you kidding?
Children's heads will explode.
Dope. And this is in Stoneham?
This is in Stoneham. This is right off of 93 North. It's at the Stone Zoo. You can go to zoonewengland.org. That's zoonewengland.org/engage/zoo lights. They've actually got it up on the homepage. Mm. Go to zoonewengland.org. You'll see it there. Go check this out. I'm going to hit it. I go to Zoo Lights pretty much every year.
I was going
to
say, I live on the South Shore and I might hit this up. That sounds dope.
I am pumped for this.
And Mama love the zoo.
Yeah, and it's great. They got great animals, but the chance to see like giant life-size Lego sculpture. It's Christmas. It's the toy season.
Yeah, I was going to say that's so on theme. I love it.
ZooNewEngland.org.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest news story we could hear from the last week. For me, after two packages were stolen from a Missouri family's porch in less than a week, they decided enough was enough. According to the mother, who asked not to be named, the family from Hazelwood, a St. Louis suburb, had security footage that showed the same thief was coming to their porch and stealing packages that they had ordered online, and she decided that she wanted revenge. The family decided to plant a package on their porch for the thief to steal. They took two dirty diapers, flipped them inside out, and put them in the Amazon package before resealing it and leaving it where packages would normally be delivered. A day later, the thief returned and took the package full of feces.
Fun.
The family also turned the surveillance footage over to local police, who arrested a female suspect Sunday. The alleged thief, who is not being identified, has many existing felony warrants. The police in Hazelwood are glad that they caught the person, but wanted to emphasize that they do not encourage the transport of biological material.
Did they catch her brown-handed?
I love it.
Illinois. I hope she dumps him when she hears this. Trevor Smith, now 21, but 20 at the time, drove his car into a ditch in Peoria.
Oh, adorable.
That's where police found him, appearing intoxicated and with a whiff of burned marijuana in his car. Smith wisely refused a breath test, but failed several field sobriety tests and headed to jail on DUI charges. When asked why he smelled of alcohol, Smith told police that he had been making out with his girlfriend and she had been drinking. No girlfriend was found at the scene. But police did retrieve an open bottle of vodka from the car.
That's like when I worked at a liquor store and I asked to check a guy's girlfriend's ID. He said, oh no, she's not drinking. I said, so she's just going to watch you drink that bottle of wine.
Chivalry is dead. She was drinking and I was making out with her. Way to go. You just lost that girlfriend.
Under the bus.
Yeah, right under the bus with the girlfriend. Hey, so next week, maybe Christmas battle, may not.
It'll either be next week or the following.
What do I do with my phone?
It's all dependent on Chris Earle's needs.
I can't find anything. So sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Falling apart.
Sometime in the next 2 weeks, it will be the Christmas battle.
And you'll hear Derek and Chris battle it out with their favorite Christmas songs.
Correct.
And you'll hear me giggling with glee that I get to judge the two of them.
I will be here on Christmas night. So playing some very special Christmas records, which are very appropriate.